out, then we can make the conversion, but there's no reason not to go ahead and get started, at least for the easy part. You know, as is tradition, start with roll call. It looks like we have a handful of people online and then obviously people in the room. So, Carrie, would you like to move forward with that?
Sure. We're going to go around the table for everybody that's here, and then I'll be calling everyone online. So I'll go first. Carrie Aiken, MPO.
Luke Hill, PANDA.
Megan Seiler, Evansville Disability Community.
Thomas Witt, KYTC Central Office Planning.
Brent Winhold, Butler Fairman Seifert, on behalf of Braden Down.
Mike Kubinski, City of Evansville.
Jennifer Scott, Evansville MPO.
Say it's Shikusada MPO.
Pam Drock, Evansville MPO.
Mir Varshuchi, Evansville MPO.
Corey Marshall, Evansville MPO.
Chris Gentry, NDOT.
David Reamer, NDOT. Chai Mamidala, SJCU.
Lorenzo Marsh, MPO.
Aaron Treeber, MPO. Okay, I'm going to start calling the names that I see virtually. If you could announce present and who you are with. Nate Hahn.
Here with the airport.
Jonathan Siebeking.
Here with the Evansville Metropolitan Evansville Transit System.
Jessica Waddle.
Here, I'm with District 2.
Crystal Windhouse.
I'm here with Heart Transit.
Nick Hall.
Here, I'm with KYTC District 2.
Drake Wilson.
I'm here, and I'm with Mets.
Sean Hayden.
Here, and I'm with Eastland Mall.
Camille Robinson.
Here, and I'm with the Federal Highway Administration.
Karen Brooks.
Here, Eastern Seals Rehabilitation Center.
Steve Raleigh.
Here, Warwick County Economic Development.
David Broderhausen.
Here, NDOT.
Is there anyone online that I missed? Looks like we're good, Nate. Thank you.
Okay. If we see anyone else pop in, we can stop and let me know, Gary. The minutes from last meeting was there, or presented to the board. Does anybody have any comments or corrections? There are none. I would take a motion.
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes.
I'll second. Tarek Wilson.
Okay. I didn't catch who made the first motion.
Mike Lubisky.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. And then a second from Rick Wilson. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of the minutes as presented, vote aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Minutes have passed. Old business, Pam with project updates.
All right. We'll begin with the Indiana project, City of Evansville, Walnut Street, Phase 3. Construction is complete and the corridor is open to traffic. Vanderburgh County project, Oak Hill Road from Lynch Road to St. George. Acquisition is complete and the project is ready for letting, and it's scheduled for a January 14th letting.
Did we lose Pam? Oh, we lost Saeed.
I think we lost him. Give him a minute to catch up.
Yeah.
All right. How about now?
There we are.
All right. What was the last project that I told you about?
The first one.
The quiz. The very first one. All right. We'll just start right from there. Walnut Street is open. Vandiver County Projects, Oak Hill Road from Lynch to St. George. Right-of-way acquisition is complete, and the project is ready for letting. And it's on a January 14, 2026 letting. Wimberg Road Bridge Project, comments on the environmental document have been addressed, and the document was resubmitted to NDOT. Work County Projects, Telephone Road, this project is under construction. Mainline work is ongoing from Bell to Coal Mine Road. Epworth Road Phase 1, environmental documents approved, right-of-way services is underway, and utility coordination is ongoing. Oak Grove Road Phase 4, public information meeting was held in August. Design revisions are being considered based on the feedback from the meeting. Utility coordination is ongoing. Moving on to Kentucky Projects. City of Henderson, Green River Road Sidewalk Project, the project is complete, as well as the Wathen Lane Project is also complete. Watson Lane Project, right-of-way acquisition process is underway with offers being made to property owners. That's it for the local projects. I'll turn it over to Luke for the NDOT.
Okay, first project, R44898. Cross Point and Burkhart construction is still ongoing. The lane restrictions are still in place. And then R42287, the contract below that. Work on pedestrian bridge between Wimpy and St. Joe has started and construction is ongoing. And then on down to B44147. State Road 62 over Harper Ditch construction was paused due to lack of permits, but now in process and will be completed in the next couple of weeks. And then next page, next contract, R45152. These are intersection improvements on State Road, or west, 2.5 miles west of 41 Wabash Avenue. Final tracings have been sent to central office, waiting on letting. Utility relocations are currently ongoing. And then on down to R44506, this is a slide correction on I-64. Field check was held in October, where slide limits and riprap were finalized, currently working on stage 3 documents. Then going on down to the contract below that, these are intersection improvements at AP Stockwell and a bridge overlay in between them. We met with property owners to discuss concerns for businesses. We held a meeting last week with the traffic team to discuss the limits and possible design exceptions and how to continue forward with continuing buying right away. Next contract is R45274. This is the rebelization on US 41. Begin stage 2 development. There is a meeting scheduled for November 18th. Following is being incorporated into revisions. The US 41 profile will need to be revised to eliminate arrays previously required for rebelized pavement. Lane shifts, the north and southbound lane shifts will be removed or revised. Side road tie-in, side approach profiles, and edge of pavement tie-ins will be revised to sync up with the US 41 revisions. And then the project just below that same contract, small frame, same one, design plans are in development. They need to work on the following documents, environmental, right-of-way, and utility. And then the bridge replacements that were bundled in with that contract, coordinated with Geotech sub-consultant to submit draft recommendations, should have those by the end of November, and starting on stage 2 submission. They're continuing work on plans, among other documents, coordinating supplements for median and side ditch over hydraulic design. And then the next page, top projects are 45295 bike pedestrian facilities. Preliminary field checks was held, addressing comments, continuing work on environmental and right-of-way. And then the project below that are 44499. This is US 41 and State Road 57 intersection improvement. Railroad coordination has started with the district, and coordination has begun with CSX and continued work on stage two design. And then our 44500 State Road 57 North Green River Road intersection improvement. Stage one plans have been turned in. Field check will be held this December. Then next project, R 39923 US 41 at Lynch. Continued work on the scope and drainage of the project. Discussion taking place about the current estimate of the project and working on stage two submittal before going into stage three. And then on the next page, intersection improvements at US 41 and Covert Avenue are 45795. Survey is about to commence. And then going on down to our 44499 US 41 at St. George. Currently reviewing different designs for this intersection due to increased costs and the lower budgets that NDOT currently has. So we're looking at different alternatives to help improve that intersection. And then lastly, on the last page, intersection improvement at Wanda and Lincoln Avenue and Belmead Avenue in Evansville. Project just getting started. Scoping meeting was held in September to discuss limits of the project and to look at different alternatives. And those are the NDOT project updates that I have.
Thank you, Luke. In the last month's meeting minutes, there was a comment about from Sean about some of the traffic concerns around the holidays. Said you'd reach out to Emily on this. Do you have any more information on that?
The lane restrictions, they are not going to remove any lane restrictions. So just expect those lane restrictions to be in place during the holidays, which unfortunately will make it more crowded, but it would cost more money through MOT if they move things and then move them back after the holidays. So expect those lane restrictions to still be in place.
Okay. Thank you for that information.
Not great, but one other question, and we don't have to talk about it now. I'd like to get some more information on the intersection of Stockwell and Morgan. Maybe I can catch up with somebody later this week or something and get some more info on that.
Okay.
Just a quick question for NDOT. You brought up the lane restrictions going to stay. Is it possible to have, like, state police to be on certain time, the rush hour, to make sure that the lanes are not blocked on the turning?
We can get with ISP. Yeah, they can do as you help out. Plenty still, this budget. Yeah, we can get Patrick, area engineer, over the project.
Yeah, even the city might be able to help on that too. So, thanks.
Very good. Any other questions for Pam or for Luke? Okay, hearing none. Under new business, my understanding is item A, the TIP modifications. We're scratching that one, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, item number two, Pam, the TIP amendments.
All right, we have six amendment requests from NDOT. Various projects. I'll just go through them very quickly. The first one is adding a project. It's on State Road 62 from US 41 to Bakey Road. It's a bicycle and pedestrian facilities project. We're adding PE in 2026. right-of-way in 2028, and construction in 2030. The next project is an add as well, State Road 62 at Posey County Line Road, adding PE in 2026 and construction in 2030. The next is to add some funding and revise funding to an existing project in the TIP. It's at US 41 and Petersburg Road, adding PE and right-of-way funding in 2026 and revising the construction funding in 26 and 27. Next is adding a project to the TIP. It's at US 41, intersections with Walnut, Lincoln Avenue, and Bellmead Avenue. Add PE in 2026, right-of-way in 28, PE in 29, and construction in 2030. Next is to add a project, and it's State Road 62 and 66, intersections at Epworth Road on State Road 62, and on State Road 66, the intersection of Bell Road and State Road 61. This is adding PE in 2026 and construction in 2030. And the last is to add the purchase of AASHTOware safety software. And then it's just the cost for the software for the 4-year time period of 2026 through 2029.
Any questions for Pam on the amendments? I will always ask the same question, Pam. I assume these were all known to us and we're just moving them up in from a future year.
There have been discussions about the projects, and yes, they're being added to the TIP or revisions made based on those discussions.
Okay. Hearing no questions, would accept a motion for approval.
I move that we adopt all the amendments as is.
Okay, I got that from David. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second from Sean. Any further discussions? Hearing none, all those in favor of the amendments, vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion passed. Item C, safety target setting recommendations.
Federal regulations require that state DOTs establish and report annual targets for 5 performance measures for safety. They include number of fatalities, rate of fatalities per 100 million vehicle miles traveled, number of serious injuries, rate of serious injuries per 100 million vehicle miles traveled, and the number of non-motorized fatalities and serious injuries. The states are required to adopt targets each year by August 31st, and then the MPOs have 180 days to either adopt their own targets or adopt to support state DOT targets. The MPO, as we have in the past, are recommending that we adopt and support the statewide targets for both NDOT and KYTC.
Does anyone have any questions for Pam on the safety targets? And those are located in the packet. If there are none.
Was there anything that showed the differences between year over year? Or any trends?
The requirement is that the targets show a downward trend.
Pam, do they compare the targets with their downward trend compared to the actual numbers? Or is it just, the target should always drive down?
No, there is a review. The most current review reviews these targets are actually a 5-year rolling average. The most current review that is online, you can go out to Federal Highway website and see it, reviews the 2019 through the 2023 target and the actuals. It compares all 5. They compare, did it meet the target or did it meet a baseline? Indiana met their 2019 through 2023 target or did not meet for number of fatalities. They met for rate of fatalities, did not meet for serious injuries or rate of serious injuries, and did not meet their target for the number of non-motorized fatalities and serious injuries. For KYTC in the 2019 through 2023 target, the target versus actual, did not meet any of those. One of the challenges with meeting the targets is the vehicle miles of travel continue to go up. So there are more people on the road and driving while the goal is to address safety and reduce the number of fatalities and serious injuries as best possible. So.
Understood. Does anyone have any other questions for Pam or the team?
Okay, we have Matt Hughes from KYTC District 2 just popped on.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Haven't heard any other questions. This is an item we do need approval for, so I would take accept a motion.
I move that we accept the amendment as is.
Thank you, David. We have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second, this is Steve.
Thank you, Steve, for the second. Any final discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, signify with the vote of aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Are there any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Continue moving on. We're switching to Jennifer for items D and E.
Thanks, Nate. The letter D is the section 5310 call for projects for fiscal year 2026. The Evansville NPO announced the section 5310 call for projects for fiscal year 2026 on Monday, November the 3rd, 2025. The applications are due to the NPO Tuesday, December 2nd, 2025. The call for projects was sent by email to the Nonprofit Transit Advisory Committee on November the 3rd. The call and application have been added to the Section 5310 page of the NPO website. This call is only for projects eligible for Section 5310 funding, which include acquisition of buses and vans, wheelchair lifts, ramps, and securement devices, along with transit-related information, technology systems, including scheduling, routing, and one-call systems, and mobility management programs to aid in the transportation of seniors and or individuals with disabilities. Eligible applicants include nonprofit organizations that provide transportation for seniors and or individuals with disabilities. If there are any questions about the call for projects or the application, you can contact me either by email at jscott@evansvillempo.com or by phone at 812-436-7833.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions? Okay, hearing none, move on to the next.
Awesome. Letter E is the 2025 through 2029 Transit Asset Management Plan. This is for informational purposes as well. We did update the Transit Asset Management Plan for METS. The Federal Transit Administration's FTA Transit Asset Management Rule became effective on October 1st, 2016, requiring transit agencies to have a written plan, with the first complete plans due by October 1st of 2018. The Evansville Metropolitan Planning Organization, with the assistance of METS and ART, developed and certified the first Transit Asset Management Plan in September of 2018. Additionally, a revised TAM group plan for METS and HART was adopted for the period of 2022 through 2026. In late 2024, HART became eligible to file grant applications under the KYTC Section 5311 program and joined the State of Kentucky Group TAM plan. Due to the transition, the Evansville MPO assisted MEDS with the development of a new TAM plan covering the period of 2025 through 2029. The 2025 through 2029 MEDS Transit Asset Management Plan was certified on October 29th of 2025.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions on that? Okay. That concludes all of our new business. My understanding is we have some other business, which is not super common for us, so it's nice to see that. Okay, turn it over to... Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay.
zoom that out.
Yeah. Why can I see it? Oh, okay.
Cool. Can you reshare that? Come in and oh, reshare.
Yeah, you started to share and then stop it by mistake.
Sure. There you go. Can you see that?
Yep. Thank you.
Now. Thank you. So I handed out a packet with this presentation. We're going to skim through some of it. We're not going to hit every slide, so we're not here all day. But I do want to say thank you to the MPO for having us in. I know we're here giving project updates all the time, but it's been a while since we just come in to talk about how a project becomes a project, right? I brought David along because he's our district traffic engineer, so he's going to talk a little bit about a couple of the assets within our traffic engineering team. So if you have questions, I guess, let us know. You can take that packet. There's some links at the end of it with some good information. But if you have any questions after this, to reach out to any of us. Luke's in our capital program, project manager for a lot of these projects. David and I know we have been going around to the locals on a monthly basis, and he may touch more a little bit on that. We're actually in Vandenberg County yesterday, kind of talking a little bit about this. So we've got a condensed version of it that we've been going around to each of the counties sharing, just so we can kind of be transparent of how a project does become a project, because it's not just David in his office putting this together. It's a lot of collaboration, and the local collaboration is a big piece of that. The MPO collaboration is a huge piece of that. I know we've got a lot of projects on the Lloyd that are happening now as a result of a corridor study that happened years ago through a partnership with the MPO and NDOT. So thank you all that are in here that work with us to plan these projects out, because without you, we wouldn't be successful like we are. I mean, Luke shared a whole list of projects happening down here, and that's a result of the coordination and collaboration with you all. So I did want to kind of highlight in this our values, our goals, our vision, our mission, all that kind of describes that collaboration piece and that intentional partnership, because I feel like from our standpoint, as we plan work out, it really takes that intentional partnership to make it happen with the local individuals, but the communities that we're impacting and all of that. So hopefully you'll see that as we kind of walk through this. But also if you have questions, like I say, just let us know. So we're out of the Vincennes district. My name is Chris Gentry. I'm the technical service director. David Reamer is our district traffic engineer. Luke Hill is one of our project managers. And David's online as our program manager. So there may be things that each one of them jump in and chime in on, but we're out of the Vincennes district, which is one of six districts across the state. So we cover the Southwest 16 counties in Indiana, and then we work closely with our central office teams, our central office asset teams, just to bring consistency across the state in how we're planning projects, as well as our capital program teams out of central office and our major project group, which the one that they're managing right now has a big impact down here with ORF. So we work with them closely to make sure that we're coordinating all of our efforts from a district standpoint, as well as out of our central office. So just kind of, oh, I'm sorry, I'm on my other one. Yeah. So that's our district makeup of the counties we're serving. And then we break up into sub-districts as well. We won't go into too much of that, but just kind of how we break out within the Vincennes district there. And then, like I say, our core values, our mission, our vision, all of that ties into really why we're here today and the meetings we have regularly with the locals and the NPO and others as it relates to projects. And my eyes aren't good. There we go. So we manage assets, and that falls into four major categories. So our pavement, our bridge, safety and mobility, which David manages the safety and mobility out of our traffic engineering group. Dwayne Decker is our system asset manager. I'll share some notes from him in a little bit. He couldn't be here today. He actually had to be out of the office today, but he's kind of going around and giving a similar presentation with the locals, just a kind of a more condensed version of it. But he would be the one that's out there speaking about the pavement and bridge assets because he manages our pavement asset engineer, our bridge asset engineer, and our small culvert engineer, as well as our scoping manager. So his team kind of makes up half of the asset managing team. David handles the other half with his traffic engineering team. And then what this kind of looks like as it rolls into the departments of NDOT, technical service, I guess you could call us the owners of the asset. So we're planning the work based on condition data, and I'll share some of those slides here in a little bit. But we are the owners of the asset, so we determine when work needs to be done. So we have projects that we're looking at based on their conditions within a 20-year plan. So as projects get close to our fiscal year call, which our asset engineers are working on fiscal year 31 right now, that's when our projects that are of the highest priority based on conditions get brought statewide and are prioritized across the state by the districts and the conditions, but also based on the budgets we have that we're constrained to. So we'll have projects that may come in or fall out based on that call year. So that's what our asset engineering team's working on right now. As those get brought forward in that fiscal year, then those become active within our five-year capital program, which is what Luke and the capital program team start to develop until they get to a construction year. And then actually when construction's done, get maintained by our maintenance department for however long until the next treatment's needed. So that kind of gives the picture of the four big departments within NDOT, but also the other support departments that help support the life cycle of an asset as it moves through. We don't just do asset management. We handle testing, so doing all the qualifications for our construction teams, doing the QCQA materials that are being used for our construction projects. We help in those efforts. David's getting ready to talk about traffic. Our asset management team will talk a little more about, and then highway permit. So anytime anybody's tying into our right of way, they work with us to get a permit to do so. So that's all of the functions within our department. So I'm going to hand it to David to talk a little bit about traffic engineering and how they plan projects or traffic projects, safety, mobility become projects, but then maybe even touch a little bit on the local collaboration piece that we're doing.
Sure.
Yep. You can see it all the way up there.
That's why you pay for LASA, Greg.
That's right.
Pam made the horrible mistake of telling us take as much time as you need for the station, so buckle up.
Yeah, blame it on her.
Yeah. Right. We might be here a while as we talk about traffic. No, I'm just joking. We have two assets, like Chris mentioned, the safety asset and mobility asset. Each of those receive a separate pot of money every year. Four projects. We're on a five-year development cycle. So right now, our group, David Reed, our traffic planning engineer, is working through the last bit of the December 1st deadline for scoping fiscal year 31 projects. So everything we turn in this year, we'll be seeing going to construction, ideally sometime in 2030. I'm going to focus mainly on the safety asset for discussing how a project becomes a project, A, because that's our highest priority as NDOT is traffic safety, and B, because the mobility asset has been more affected by inflation over the last several years compared to safety. So lots of things like interstate expansion fall under this mobility asset. The Lloyd project fell under our mobility asset, and that's seen substantial increases over the years as we get hit by inflation just like everyone else. So we're not really funding new mobility projects for the next several years until we have time to pay for what we already have programmed. It's looking like maybe 2032, 2033, we'll start to see mobility money coming in again. But primarily, we're focused on safety. Also, thanks for our Lloyd for You project, we don't foresee many mobility needs in Evansville and Vandenberg County over the next several years in comparison to safety. We'll still address them if they come up, but safety is the big focus. And within that, we have specific intersection projects as well as systemic safety. I'm going to touch mostly on those specific intersection scoping projects, but just also know that each district receives $4.5 million every year to use on a more discretionary basis that touches on things like signage, cable rail barrier, pavement marking, low-cost treatments that we work to deploy on a multiple county, multiple intersection, corridor-wide basis for improvement. So that is something that we manage that I'm not going to touch on a ton, but it is something we utilize. We identify spot improvement locations through three primary areas. The first is customer service. Anyone, including the people in this room, if you notice an issue, can call 855-NDOT4U or go to ndotforyou.com and note that location. And it seems like every year we get about one project funded based off someone just picking up the phone and saying, hey, this intersection is dangerous. Can you look into this spot for us? We think that there's an issue, and our team collects crash data and works to improve it. The other way that touches on similar to customer service is our local collaboration meetings. This was an initiative we started last year where we work to be in the county on an annual basis for each of our 16 counties. So for the district, that equates to about one meeting a month. And for the county, we're seeing them every year. And the groups that we try and invite to this meeting are primarily the county highway superintendent and county commissioners, but we also work to invite Indiana State Police, county EMS and EMA, any police chiefs and mayors, county commissioners, like I said, economic development. We try and cast this wide net. The MPOs invited on areas that are within their county, and the RPOs for that county are invited if they're not in the MPO service area. And the goal of that is to say, here's what we have upcoming. Additionally, where are you noticing safety issues? What can we be investing our time in? I'm trying to find these locations for future projects. What should our priorities be? And we found several projects actually that we think will receive funding through that start of the initiative last year, and we look to carry it going forward. The next is Purdue helps us out with an annual network screening list every year. This is a very high-level overview where the Purdue Center for Road Safety downloads every crash report in the state, maps it out, and develops a tool that says, here are intersections or corridors you should be looking at based on this very high-level crash analysis. Let's hone in on those for actual engineering studies, and that will identify probably 5 to 7 locations every year that we take a deeper dive into. And for all of these projects, not everywhere we look at requires a multi-million dollar improvement. Sometimes it's as simple as adding signage or adding a flasher to a stop sign, adding one of the TAPCO blinking stop signs to a location. I don't want to make it sound like every single location we look at receives a roundabout, for example. That's the worst of the worst type intersections. And there are lots of things we're doing behind the scenes to make small safety tweaks throughout the year. But we look at a few through the Center for Road Safety. The final way we identify locations is through the annual crash audit. That's a process we began 2 years ago where our traffic team got together and put a list of about 100 intersections on paper that says, we know that due to factors such as being a signal on a high-speed divided highway, this is very likely to have crash issues. We know that drivers are going high speed. We know that there are cars stuck in traffic. It's likely that there will be severe injury crashes here. And we can't guarantee that, for example, Bell Road was one that came up. 66 and Bell Road, even though that's not quite as rural, has crashes until we check it. By its characteristics of carrying that much traffic at that high a speed, we thought there might be. So we check about 100 locations through that to help identify and be proactive in that safety to help fund projects. Once we have our locations identified, we take a deeper dive into that specific location. That is primarily done through crash data. Every time a crash happens, and sorry if I'm getting too deep in the weeds, but it's too late now. Every time a crash happens, an officer has to construct a crash report. We've actually been working, and Pam has been assisting us with that in the Evansville region, with going to police officers, police chiefs, state police. There's a perception among that group that they are constructing these crash reports for the purpose of identifying blame for insurance companies. Not that we're actually the main users of this data. They think, oh, the lawyers are interested in this for legal purposes, for insurance purposes, but they're filling out this report for us primarily to help find what is the root cause of this location. So for an example, I've pulled crash data at a funded intersection. I forgot to change the title because I borrowed this slide from the previous one. This is State Road 62, which is sort of still Deloitte Expressway at the Vandenberg-Posey County Line Road. To help you identify, there's Dollar General in the northwest corner. This was one that came up to us through a customer service call-in, and we checked crashes, and there were a high number of six right angle crashes, with four of them being severe injuries over a 3-year period. We dove into why are those right angle crashes happening. It's primarily high speeds and poor sight distances. After that, we go on a field check to dive into the location. You can get a lot from this crash diagram. It helps you break down a lot of complex information into something that's easier to understand, but it still doesn't replace actually going out and seeing it in the field. So we get together for a field check. The people attending these field checks, in addition to the district staff, that way we have a wide net to make sure we're all providing perspectives and getting the right solution, is NDOT Central Office. We invite their safety group. We invite the Evansville MPO, either Mike and his team, John Stoll and his team, Bobby Howard in Warwick County, whoever is responsible for doing the engineering or highway departments for that group will invite. And then we invite both the Indiana State Police and the local law enforcement, because as the ones filling out those crash reports, they might have details that we missed as far as what's causing those locations. So we all come together, discuss, okay, here's what we're seeing with crashes. How are we going to improve it? We talk about potential options. Once we've identified a few potential options, we'll go through and run traffic modeling, cost-benefit analysis, cost estimates to try and determine the best solution at each location. We've started over the previous year re-meeting with the MPO and whoever is responsible for that intersection on the local road. Once we have these preliminary alternatives selected, that way we're all on the same page and making sure the solution we've recommended has a little bit of vetting. It's not just our traffic group saying, we think this is great. We have a wider selection to make sure that what we're proposing is viable and everyone understands why we're doing so. Finally, once we have the preliminary alternative, it's scored on a scale from 1 to 100, and it competes statewide against what the projects identified by the other six districts. And there is about $45 million in safety funding every year, compared to a $125 million worth of need identified by each of the six districts. So that's just to say that only the top of the worst locations identified across the state are being funded. Finally, once a project is funded, that doesn't necessarily mean that what is the recommended alternative is what will be constructed. There is still the NEPA environmental process that goes through, and that usually involves some form of public involvement component. For almost all of our major intersection improvements, a public hearing is offered. It doesn't mean that we will have one, but we offer it out. And if the citizens respond to it and say, yes, we'd like to have one, then we do have a public hearing. And that's the opportunity for anyone at the public to show up and give their opinion. And I shared this, Steve, I saw you were on the call. I'm sure you recognize this very well. as an example where public feedback and working with all of our stakeholders, including the people in this room, was instrumental in what was shaping what was actually constructed once it reached the field. And now we drive 66 and Epworth Road and hardly ever have to stop. So if there's any questions, we can cover them at the end. I already talked long enough.
We are rolling. Not quite halfway there, though, so bear with us. So Dwayne couldn't be here. Dwayne handles our bridge and asset and scoping side of the shop. So him and David work close together quite frequently. This kind of just gives you a visual of what our fiscal year 26 funding looks like for the district. I know Luke mentioned in his update just some budget constraints and some adjustments that we've had to do on some of our projects. What you'll kind of see is over the last couple years, we've had to do some rebalancing within our program. So you might have seen projects that were on a list that ended up getting maybe kicked out or delayed. Those projects are still within our plan. It's just they've gotten moved further out. So like we've kind of talked already, we plan most of our capital projects 5 years before starting construction. What we are responsible for on the road and bridge side for Vincennes District, we have a little over 5,000 lane miles on the bridges, a little more than 1,000 bridges that we're responsible for. Those are spans 20 foot or greater. For large culverts, we have a little over 2,000 of those, which are spans 4 foot to 20 foot. And then our small culverts, which we work, we add these to pavement projects, we have standalone projects, and our maintenance team helps replace these as well. But we are responsible for over 12,000 of those. Those are our pipes that are 4 foot and less. So we have a lot of assets that we have to manage out there, and a lot of condition data that our asset teams are using to determine the conditions of those and where our priorities need to be in regards to bringing projects forward. So on the roadway or pavement side, we're getting pavement inspected once a year for ride quality and cracking. Our bridges are being inspected once every 2 years. Our large culverts are inspected once every 4. And then our small culverts, about every 5 or 6 years, they're getting a new inspection on those. So we're constantly getting updated condition data for our asset teams to utilize and bring projects forward. Some of these slides just kind of talk about that, so I won't linger on these too long. They're in the packet. If you got questions, let us know. But it all kind of goes back to this life cycle investment that NDOT utilizes, not just on the capital side, but even on our maintenance teams. Our maintenance teams are prioritizing work based on our asset team's recommendations. So we've got maintenance activities that are helping get the full life cycle of an asset before the next treatment is needed. So some things you're seeing more of out there, chip seals. That's to help extend the life of our pavements in some areas before we're able to do another resurface or an actual capital pavement project on that. So you have seen a little bit of an uptick in those maintenance activities. Our maintenance teams are doing other things like track seal, replacing pipes, a lot of which helps to extend the life cycle of these assets as we plan work out in the future. All of that you can find in the Transportation Asset Management Plan and the Strategic Asset Management Plan. There's links to those. You can learn all you want in regards to planning projects in those documents, but they are very useful just to see what goes into the planning of projects. That I think the TAMP was updated in 22, and the Strategic Asset Management Plan was in 20. So if you're interested in getting into those, there's the links and it should be in your packet. So Katrina Pinkstaff's our pavement asset engineer. I'm going to click through some slides that she provided, just give some of the details of what I've already covered in regards to lane miles and what she's responsible for, as well as the roadway categories that are identified on the map there. Those are broken up in PKs or pavement keys. So she's responsible for 387 PKs within our district. And then this is the data she's receiving that's collected annually so that she can prioritize where work needs to be focused, as well as getting PORS and FWD data. Yeah, this talks about her planning, some of the maintenance activities. We do have IDIQ contract that we use to assist some of the patching that gets done out there, as we have spot treatments that are needed. That is a resource for her to utilize. We maximize that annually to make sure that we're taking care of the patching that's needed beyond what our maintenance capabilities are. Jason Hiley is our bridge asset engineer. Similarly, that shows what he's responsible for out there from an asset owner on the bridges, large culverts, and the small culvert engineer reports directly to him too. So I got a lot of responsibilities in regards to assets. And this talks about his planning and the condition data he's utilizing as he looks at work, and working closely with our central office asset team as they look at deterioration curves and condition ratings to determine the highest priorities of bridges to bring forward in an annual call. Let's see. Holly is our scoping manager. All of the asset teams are working with her to put together engineers' assessments for the projects that we are working to bring forward in an annual call. So David's got due dates. He's already mentioned that he's working with our scoping team to ensure that we're getting the scoping documents for those. I kind of pride ourselves at Vincennes. We do a really good job at scoping on the front end, so we're not dealing with too much adjustment that we have to deal with through development or eventually in construction. So that could have a big impact if we don't have a good scope on the front end. I guess we'll leave it with just some useful information. I'm sure most of you have probably used this map, but it's very beneficial to find data on projects. This will get you all the information out to fiscal year 30 of our active program, so you can kind of click through and see what you want to see and remove what you don't necessarily want to. So this is a good resource. And then I don't know if anyone's aware, but there's brochures that are out there that if you need some information to share, there's brochures on chip seal operations. I just pulled the one up since we were talking about how projects become a project. There's a brochure on that that's available at that link as well. So some useful tools for you to access and share with others as you see fit. Luke, do you got anything on the project management front, capital program, that kind of talks about how we get to development? Once we bring a project forward in a call, Luke's team, the capital program, starts work on developing that, getting environmental clearance, environmental permitting right away, potentially if needed, getting the utilities coordinated with. So all that takes time. So I appreciate all their efforts in helping us keeping these projects on schedule as best we can. But anything you want to share before we wrap up?
We work really closely with all of our team members, but I would say the ones we work closely with is our scoping team, because once the scope comes together, it goes, these projects, they go on a call, monthly calls, and this is where, or RFPs, and this is where consultants can put in LOIs or letters of interest, typically about 12 pages. We get multiple consultants, and then on average about 10 to 12 consultants would put in for a project. Different people will score on them. We have different parameters on how we score depending on the ready for proposal or the proposal that's sent out. And once the scores come in, the top score will receive that contract or project, that consultant will. And then we will set up a kickoff meeting with that consultant, go over some parameters about how we expect the project to go, go over concerns like right-of-way utilities, who's going to be in charge of those, are they going to be done in-house or through sub-consultants, which are typically mentioned in the letters of interest they put in. And then once the kickoff meeting is held, and then we work closely with the consultant or the designer through stage one, stage two, And hopefully by stage three, it's a federal highway requirement now to have your environmental approval. If it's depending on the approval or depending on the project, if it's more urban and like some of these intersections down here in Evansville, we will hold public meetings because there's a lot of stakeholders involved. Typically about two meetings, like one early on, one later in development, once we know what's going on and funding never changes.
Well, I hate to break this up. See, I don't feel like they're going to kick us out. They're giving us a dirty look out there. So we got to vacate the room.
All right. Well, we appreciate the time and the invite. And yeah, if you guys have any questions or
concerns, we'll have a conversation later.
Thank you so much.
And go ahead, Nate, if you want to adjourn.
No, I was going to say, I do appreciate it, and I do appreciate the details because I think, you know, as many projects we hear about, so I appreciate their time and effort for the presentation. I don't have anything else outside of the dates for next year have been set. I assume someone from the MPO will send those out to everyone on the committee, so make sure we have those.
Yes, we will. Thanks, everyone. Okay.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Hey,
yeah, they're going to call the cops on us.
That's how I can send it out.